Welcome back to Download here on 720 WGN. Coming up at 8 o'clock, Amara Enya and Mario Smith will be in studio to reload the week that was. What were the biggest stories, the most surprising stories, most underreported stories? What story will we remember in 50, 100, 500 years from now? Jay Cutler, right?
I don't think we'll remember any of them in 500 years.
That's maybe not us, but society. What are they going to be writing on rocks? That's like
that's Illinois government is messed up.
Yeah, right. Well, that's what we're going to talk about here in this segment. Amanda Vinicky and Madeline Dubik in studio. Amanda is with IPR, Illinois Public Radio, but she's making the move to Chicago to work for WTTW Chicago tonight. Coming up here at the beginning of 2017. Good to see you.
You too.
All right, and Madeline Dubik, you're like the star of Chicago today. She's the publisher of Reboot Illinois, a longtime political editor, executive editor at the Daily Herald, and also the subject of today's Robert Feeder column about how Reboot Illinois is going behind the paywall. Very exciting news. We'll talk a little bit about that this hour. But let's talk about the main reason we're here, the week in Springfield. I mean, for people who have followed Illinois politics or state politics, they were a little bit even confused about what was happening this week. We thought we might get a budget out of this. We didn't. Instead, we got vetoes and a bailout. Did things get done this week?
There was a lot of movement. There was a lot of whirling around of things. You got one major thing done, and that is a bill passed that it seems the governor is going to sign that, as I've termed it, took up all of the energy really in the Capitol for the majority of the second half of the veto session, and that is the energy bill that basically is described, I think, accurately as a bailout for Exelon and means that you're going to be paying more on your electric bills. So look out for those and say thanks to ComEd.
It seems like a strange story, the bailout, because it's one of those that we've heard political parties rail against. We've talked to, you know, Bruce Rauner and the Republicans have said that's not how they, I mean, we even see it with Donald Trump and Republicans with Carrier in Indianapolis right now. But a strange kind of rock and a hard place for Illinois politicians.
It really was. You could see them and hear them passionately struggling with what to do about this, you know, because there were lots of enticements for people who consider themselves to be quote unquote green politicians. And yet they didn't want to have to vote for essentially a rate hike for their constituents, particularly when it is for a company that made $800 million in profit in the last quarter. And when we are starving social services and colleges in the state of Illinois. So, as we say in the biz, the optics for this were not good.
I was going to say, then why does it get through a veto session? What is it that was the priority to make this happen and not the other things?
I think there are several things. Number one, that Exelon and ComEd have, I presume, more, I've got to go through and actually count, but I have no hesitation in saying more lobbyists than any other entity, organization, group.
Yeah.
I mean, that is truly a large part of it.
And they've
been working on this
for years,
literally years. Also, it is very significant for the downstate communities, Clinton and the Quad Cities, that sought to lose thousands of jobs and even more from the economic consequences of were these plants to close. There are a lot of jobs that are attached to that. And when you have, again, starving social services and uncertain economic times, I'm sure you've talked about it, the tale of two Illinois. You've got Chicago and prospering and bringing in jobs to the city. And then you kind of have the rest of Illinois where there are a lot of pockets that really depend on these big nuclear plants for their schools, et cetera. So I think that was also a major component of it. And then, as Madeline attested, it was that it wasn't just Exelon. It also came to give the enticements for others when it came to fixing
green.
Some problems
that
had been also kind of waiting around for years when it comes to green energy needs.
The interesting thing to me, though, is, you know, you talk about the effect on these towns and these communities, and it would have probably significantly wiped them out.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is the same thing that's happening to the college towns in the state of Illinois.
Yeah. Right.
But yet the key thing, I think, that Amanda pointed out is they don't have the organization and the, you know, however many scores of lobbyists.
And scores is not an overstatement.
No.
It's not.
Scores.
score.
Score means 20, by the way, and we're talking multiples of 20.
Wow. So you, I mean, and as both of you have been active in covering Springfield, Amanda, you're down there all the time. I mean, you, these the lobbyists are working. They're working the hallways. They're there.
They
you
wrote
know.
This legislation.
Yeah, I think
not lawmakers. Wow. Right?
Right. I mean, again, it was a couple of years and you saw a lot of changes at the end. So they're working it. There's also a theory that you have some who maybe aren't working it that hard. But guess what? If they're at least on the payroll, then they can't be working against it. Or that you just have all these, you know, relationships, currying favors, what have you. Certainly, there are a lot of people that worked very hard for this. Again, the green energy community is really saying that this is a success because it includes energy efficiencies and fixes the renewable portfolio standard, which is really confusing, but let's just say it wasn't doing its job, and this is supposed to increase both wind and solar energy. And yet, of course, there are critics that say the savings, and that was a big part of the last minute negotiations, because I don't think that it is necessarily going to be enough when people really see their energy bills increasing. But ostensibly, it's capped. At least your bills may still go up, but not because of this.
Not because of this deal.
It's only can go up supposedly else, right. 25 cents on average, but that's on
but
average
that's an
over
average.
A customer base of 3.6 million for ComEd.
Right.
So 25 cents a month, and critics say that those are really illusory fake
this.
Savings.
And we'll make a transition to what didn't get done. But one of the things, one of the turnaround agenda items for Governor Rauner had to do with freezing property taxes. It
yep.
really felt like Governor Rauner is using some of his turnaround agenda items to essentially provide relief for Illinois residents. When you have situations where that doesn't go forward, but yet you have a bailout where there will be more money added to the utility bills
right.
of customers, how does that reconcile itself?
Well, you will see him when he is asked that question talk about him insisting, his office insisting on the caps on those rates to try to keep that under control. And he'll probably talk about how he helped save all those jobs in those two mm-hmm. communities. So that will be his spin. But to put this all in perspective, what you had happen was Illinoisans just gave $235 million to Exelon and ComEd, and the governor took $215 million that was dangled out in front of Chicago Public Schools and their pension funds, which are in huge danger, and flushed that down the toilet. And at the same time, we got no progress toward this budget stalemate that we're now in the 17th month of.
Let's take a quick break so we stay on time, but we'll come back. And the two things we'll talk about is the inaction on the actual budget and the politics around that, but also this veto, which on first glance, you were like, oh, you know, Cullerton, it felt like it took seconds for the Senate to actually override that. And it at the time, yesterday, I mean, it felt like, oh, this isn't, you know what, this isn't really a no-brainer. The House will do it, too. The House hasn't acted and doesn't look like it's going to act. So what thought to be an oversight is really going to happen, the fact that this bill may be, as you said, flushed down the toilet. Amanda Vinicky, Madeline Dubik in studio. We will take a quick break. Come back. Stay with us. Welcome back to the Download here on 720 WGN. We're talking about Springfield, the veto session wrapping up, and what we can expect from the lame duck session, which will be coming up here, I guess, what is it, right at the beginning of January, right before?
January 9th, 2 days before the inauguration on the 11th.
Madeline Dubik is the publisher of Reboot Illinois, which, let's stop real quick. So big story today in Robert Feeder that you're taking the work that you do that covers the state of Illinois, and you're putting it, you're making a subscription series.
Exactly. We're asking our readers and anyone who cares about the future of the state of Illinois who has watched our work to make a contribution, support it, subscribe to us, and we're going to offer some pretty cool things like a neat private digital community for
is this
people to join.
And you mentioned this was a quote in the Feeder article, but is this because you are no longer the beneficiary of the investment companies that were that sort of started you, or is this just the plan all along?
Yeah, no, not at all. We still have the support of AFK Media Group, which took over from the founding investors in March of this year. They're fully behind us. This was always the plan, to work toward becoming a self-sustaining media going concern, just like WGN or the Tribune or you know, any other website that's out there. The problem in the journalism industry has been, for the past several years, advertising rates are dropping dramatically, and I'm sure the budget stalemate in Illinois doesn't help either.
You guys need some lobbyists.
We do. Maybe we can tap into Exelon.
They're looking for work now. They've got a great track record.
So the point is, you know, I think that we're going to find out whether people believe in the value of journalism and the good work that we do, the hard work that we do. There's no bloat at Reboot Illinois. Let me tell you, we're a very small startup, and we're cranking out some terrific analysis that I'm extremely proud of every day. And so we're asking people to make a contribution to that and to support the work that we do, because advertising isn't going to provide enough
of that. It's rebootillinois.org?
Rebootillinois.com.
Got it. Rebootillinois.com.
And we will continue to have, we are exclusive partners with PolitiFact. We are PolitiFact Illinois as well, so we will continue to have fact checks.
Yeah, we need it.
And those will be free to everybody, because that's an important public service. We also have a pretty cool sound-off tool that we've created that allows people to email the governor, Mike Madigan, John Cullerton, Christine Redonio, Jim Durkin, and their individual state rep and state senator with one click of a mouse button.
That's good. All right. That's you hearing here. Amanda Vinicky, who works at Illinois Public Radio, is coming up here to be a part of the Chicago Tonight crew at WTTW, a reporter covering the State House starting in 2017.
Yep.
All right. So let's get to, I mean, the veto, the veto is one thing. The veto of CPS pension, essentially a pension bailout for CPS schools, as part
parody,
of
you would say,
as part of a deal that was a couple months ago, that was a big thing that we had the doomsday stuff even before the strike, and this was something that came down the line. They said it was $250 that was pledged by the state of Illinois, and we thought this was done. Now Rauner had said, "I need this to be tied to comprehensive pension reform." The bill that he vetoed did not have it tied, if you use the word tied. But State Senate President John Cullerton said, we were working on that, and we were working that in good faith. It sounds more like a just a really strange drama behind the scenes than most of the way that government usually works. Am I wrong in that? I mean, it just feels like it feels like there's a there's an hourly timeline on this story where we came out of
it
a meeting
really
in an
quick
hour.
Moving.
Like,
yeah.
Like, what happened here?
Well, it did seem reactionary, and I do think that in politics, you want to be clear. It's not always about personality. There's clearly plenty of policy behind things, but you can't let go of that personality in these relationships. And I think lack of trust between these leaders is a very real thing at this point. So it did kind of go down like that. It was a bit odd. They had had a meeting. The Senate president came out. It seemed as if he disputed the notion of the deal that the media had all assumed right. had been a thing since
and reported
June
repeatedly.
And reported. Yeah, all the time. And yet when it comes down to it, it's not as if he broke the deal. There was never a part of the deal that said they couldn't go forward and try to override any veto were it to have come to that. What was, I guess, strange about it was the governor did seemingly react right away to that.
Because there is time still on this bill. There's, I mean, he could have waited another 25. I mean, this was a peculiar way to veto something at the end of this session when all eyes were sort of on what was going to happen with the budget.
I mean, I tried
for me,
to.
I'll use the word peculiar.
I would say that, again, it shows the lack of trust, and I think Rauner's frustration with the lack of agreement by Democrats, the lack of their willingness to get things done, something which, again, if you listen to the Cullerton's side of things, hey, wait a second, he says, I thought we were working on things. And in fact, they did meet. They hadn't since summer, and they have been meeting consistently and are going to meet again this weekend, Saturday, Sunday.
Let me just say, I mean, the takeaway to me, and it's something we've been talking about this and both been on the show at a different time, just this concept of trust.
Yeah.
And Rauner and there has been this rhetoric where Madigan says, you want these turnaround agenda items, we'll deal with them separately than the budget. Rauner says, I'm not going to do that because I don't trust you guys. If we do a budget, you're not going to actually deal with my turnaround agenda. So they have to be together. And that has been at the core of what we have seen for almost 2 years now,
right,
of instability at and no budget plan. I mean, is that the best characterization of this? I mean, the fact that these two parties and the party leaders don't trust each other at all to the point that they can't at least have good faith in the other one's decisions?
It's more than that, but that is certainly part of it.
That's really at the core of it, I would say. I mean, I think that's a pretty good way to put it. I mean, trust was one of the first things that you mentioned, Amanda,
right.
And it's, you know, you can't make a deal with a partner you don't trust. And so at some point, someone is going to have to walk out on that limb.
Now, let me ask you.
But I mean, there are true, real policy divisions too. That,
right.
I mean, you know, that are really at the heart of this that have long term consequences. If you're on Rauner's side, either the belief that this will really change Illinois and make it better in the future. Mm-hmm. If you're looking at it from Democrats' point of view, that it's meant to decimate their party entirely and their key backers in labor. So really big deals there that I think make it necessary for them to be on each side fighting hard.
It feels in a way that we have lost the art of compromise when it comes to politics in the state of Illinois.
Yes.
In the way that really, both of those things that Amanda just said, those two things, they come together in a way that it really, that's how
yeah.
policy is made. But either party, they're just not coming to the table.
Well, and this is a microcosm of what you're seeing nationally as well. And there's such a huge divide and an inability to compromise. And at some point, someone has to step in here and say, you know, look, there are losses here for both sides. There are gains here for both sides. At some point, red has to come together and mix with blue and make purple, and that is not happening right now. I actually wrote a piece a week or two ago that suggested when the Archbishop became our cardinal in the Archdiocese of Chicago, Cardinal Supich ought to be the mediator and bring these guys together a room with Danny Davis, the congressman who just lost his grandson to violence and unexplainable, you know, guns in Chicago, and force these guys to get something done.
Okay, so let's move ahead and wrap up. Got to wrap up here, but I'm interested in what happens next. We saw today that lawmakers are suing for their paychecks. They're saying it's politically motivated, that their paychecks are not being. I mean, we're seeing so much discord and distrust and finger pointing. What happens next? Here come these meetings that are supposed to be weekend meetings. I mean, are we going to come out of the holiday season for the lame duck session and everything's going to be fixed?
If you hear Speaker Madigan has characterized the meetings as wholly unproductive and a repetition of talking points. So evidently those haven't been going too well. We're not allowed in them or privy to what goes on, but it doesn't seem like anybody's too happy with what comes out of that. That's kind of echoing from a different side of things what Republicans have said about the meetings as well. You have that. Legislators, at least in the House, have made their own lives more difficult with having taken a symbolic vote, granted, mm-hmm. but one that says no to any tax hike during that lame duck opportunity when you have previously seen action on some of these really tough asks. So that's there. And further, you continue to have the Republican Party largely funded by Rauner putting out anti-Madigan material with trackers, websites, etc.
So
that's what you have to look forward to. Happy New Year.
So there are a lot of people who think that all of that adds up to a whole lot of nothing getting done until after the 2018 gubernatorial election.
Well, we'll have you both back coming up here in 2017. Madeline Dumick is the publisher of Reboot Illinois at rebootillinois.com. Subscribe. And Amanda Vinicky is at Illinois Public Radio now, but we'll be at WTTW starting after the new year in 2017. Thanks, you guys, for coming in. Appreciate it.
It was a blast.
Our pleasure.